snow.
A little over
you
2 feet.
You can't move. It's just as quiet. Oh, wait a minute. We're in the desert. There's no snow at all.
Right.
We're in our shirt
70.
Sleeves. It's colder in the studio than it is outside. Sorry, New York City. Sorry, Northeast. But it's beautiful here. It's a beautiful day. It really is.
It really is lovely outside. Yeah.
But I bet it's beautiful in New York. When
it
I
is.
Was in New York, I just dug that when it gets really snowy.
I like it when it snows in New York.
It's like
yeah.
after the end of the world.
Of course, I'm not going anywhere.
Which
so.
I'm looking really forward to.
The end of the world?
Yeah, I think it'll cool. be cool. You know, I'll be the only person left
all
alive. Doesn't everybody think that?
You'll
the
be the
picture
only one?
The end of the world. It's just, that's a Bob Dylan song. Bob Dylan's, whatever it was. Bob Dylan's 100... One of Bob Dylan's dreams, I think, on one of the early albums. He says everybody's having these dreams. They're walking around with nobody else. It's that kind of thing.
You do not want to be the last person alive. Trust me on this.
No, not me, because I can't do anything.
I was going to say, you don't have a lot of skills outside of the radio thing. I'm your friend. I'm telling you this as a friend.
I can't even make a sandwich, really.
Exactly right.
Right. Yeah, I couldn't feed myself. Also,
where's
once...
the help?
Once I broke my glasses, it's all over for me. I'm using that. I'm trying to make it a little bit kinder, what you said.
Okay.
But you're saying with my glasses, I can't do anything.
Yeah. You could put your glasses on if you had your glasses on. All
right. I'm not handy.
No.
I'm not handy. No. You know, my dad and his family were all from Newfoundland. We've
yes,
talked about this before, and I've gotten into trouble with it.
And they're handy folks.
Very handy. You know, and my dad built our house. My
really?
Dad and my mom together built the house. And I don't mean, you know, they had it built. My mom designed the house. The two of them together carried every cinder block. They hammered in every nail themselves.
Into the cinder blocks?
Yeah.
Are you sure they were as handy as you think they were?
And the house that I grew up in, the house that I spent my first 18 years of my life in. The house that is still in Greenfield, Massachusetts.
They built it themselves.
Every single nail. I don't mean like they had some friends come over, like Amish friends with a barn raising or something. No, they built everything. So my dad
That's
would
great.
Say to me when I was a kid, you know, every man should build his own house. You know, and he gave me the hammer that he used and stuff. And then, you know, we are here in the slammer. And I said to my dad, does it count if you get other people to build your house? But I don't think my dad was that disappointed. But there's a long line of Gillette. Who have built their own houses.
Up until the last 100 years, I think probably everyone did, pretty much, didn't they?
I guess so.
Everybody.
Everybody built
your
their own.
Your great-grandparents built their own house.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you're saying everybody's great-grandparents.
Yeah, everybody's.
Oh, okay. So today is the day. I'm going off the subject. I don't see anything to talking about building houses. Seems like a dead end.
Okay.
You got something else on
no,
there?
No, I got nothing else on
this
it.
Is Penn Jillette. I'm here with Michael Goudeau. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Taylor.
We're on Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. I give that number now because grandparents building houses is a very controversial subject. People want to call in and get right on our asses about that. 866-313-FREE, FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. This is a very exciting week coming up. Very exciting week. It's a thrilling week.
Another big week.
Tomorrow we have Randy, James Randy, the amazing Randy, the Ghostbuster, my biggest hero, and Paul Provenza, director of the Aristocrats.
The return of the comedy team of Provenza and Randy.
Yeah, they're coming in tomorrow to do another nutty show. Those are the shows we shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Randy and Provenza mostly do it. That's the good news. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have Gilbert Gottfried. Those people love the Gilbert Gottfried show so much.
So we should have Gilbert on again. Yes.
We got another one. And Mario is coming out, right?
Mario's coming out tonight. He's flying to Vegas
now,
tonight.
Now, for those of you who tuned in late, Mario is going into the Marines or the Army. What's he going into?
One of those.
He's going into the service. He's 18 years old, and he said that if he had a tough time during boot camp, it would mean the world to him if he got to come out and hear our show. So he's flying on his own. But once
yes,
he gets
is.
Here, well, we're going to take care of him. As a matter of fact, who's going to pick him up tonight? Coming like at 11?
No, I don't know.
If you are a listener in the Vegas area,
yeah, call in.
And tonight, you can give Mario a ride from the airport
to the Rio.
Sure.
866-313-FREE.
About 11:30 tonight. 866-313-FREE. And if you want to pick him up at the airport, we'll give you tickets to the Lance show.
And the Penn
and Teller
show. Teller
show.
Sure.
You can go with Mario.
You can go with Mario. We give Mario a date, maybe.
I believe believe this is a lawsuit. It doesn't have to be a date.
All right,
it could be
could
if it's a date, that's fine. He's going into the service. Could be his last chance with a woman or a man. I don't know what he likes, but maybe you don't either. Take a guess.
I'm not taking a guess.
People listening can take a guess.
Sure.
If you think Mario might like you, pick him up at the airport. Now, I believe this is a lawsuit that's just dying to happen. If a caller calls in and we have them go to the airport and pick up Mario, and then they like rape or kill Mario or something, I believe he's got a complete lawsuit against us. But CBS has the deep pockets, so we just go down.
Good. Okay.
Whatever. So Mario's coming out, and we're going to take him. We're shooting. We're shooting BS
tomorrow.
Which, you know, on my iCal, on my Mac, it breaks down words.
Yes, it does.
So the word for our show on Showtime becomes Bulls Hit.
Bulls Hit.
Bulls Hit. You know, like if you had a maybe the Bulls basketball team,
right?
We're going to have a softball game against other basketball
where
teams.
Where they finally wrote a song.
you could have a headline that says, you know, Bulls hit basket again.
When there you go.
You know, Bulls hit another home run. So he can come to the set of Bulls Hit, the Penn and Teller show. He'll be at the set. Tomorrow we'll be at the set all
and
day.
It's catered.
So we've got plenty of food, and I think that Jack's going to come by and bring some Krispy Kreme donuts. So the set is going to be, the set of Bulls Hit is going to be a big party tomorrow.
Tomorrow's party day.
And there'll be nobody working except me and Teller.
And me. I'll be working.
Yeah, you work.
I typed during.
Yeah, you were working on those puzzles.
Exactly, the Sudoku. Yeah, I'll be working on Sudoku while you tape.
We were taping. We did the promos already. But that'll be going on. And what else is going on? Now, to see, today, is the day the comics' prayers were answered. Actually, yesterday was the day the comics' prayers. There are certain times when a news story hits.
Right.
That when the Bulls hit, when there's a certain time when you get you just say, boy, every hack comic in the world needed a hunk in his show, and they all got together and they prayed to the god of comedy, and
yesterday the god delivered.
Boy, did the god deliver in spades. Vice President of the United States shoots a guy in the face,
with a shotgun.
You don't need anything funnier than that. You really don't. I mean, that's just pure funny.
I bet Leno's writers were up all night.
No, not at all. That's the thing. You don't have to be up all night.
Partying.
You just go.
Not
he was shooting.
Writing. Partying.
he was shooting.
Clear.
He was shooting quail. He should have been shooting gore, but instead he got a lawyer. Oh, Cheney declares war on lawyers. And the whole article is terrific. And this is what bothers me. You know, I went to see The Elephant Man.
Okay.
Watch how this ties in. Very good.
You can't do it.
I can say
you can't do this.
I went to see The Elephant Man on Broadway.
Right.
And I'd read all the Merrick books, you know.
Right.
And the book, the show, The Elephant Man, is based on, and the movie, The Elephant Man, is based on really what's not much more than a pamphlet. It's this little tiny thing.
Right.
That's just talking about John Merrick. It's written by the surgeon, I forgot the guy's name, or the doctor that was in attendance of The Elephant Man, John Merrick. And it's probably, you know, 40 pages long. It's really short. And it's just a description of The Elephant Man and how he lived and making his model and so on. And it contains so much humanity and so much beauty and 80 pounds of bone growing out of your face.
humanity.
It contains all of this beautiful pathos, and it's a gorgeous book, and written in this very, very straightforward prose style of a doctor, you know, whose heart is full of love, but there's nothing flowery about it.
Right.
And very, very touching. So I was excited to go see the play, and then I found that the play brought nothing at all to the subject, to me, or the movie. It's like if you read the John Merrick thing, and then you just, which takes you about 20 minutes, half an hour, and then just sit and think for an hour and a half about it, the depth of it is so much greater than someone else's work built on it. Exactly the way I feel about the Cheney thing, you know? You don't need comedians. Just open up the newspaper and see what she says. When the woman, whatever her name is, it was here, Catherine something, the daughter of whoever, whosever farm it was that the accident happened.
The hunting farm.
The accident hunting farm. She said, you know, it's just it'll itty bitty pellets, you know, smaller than a BB, you know.
Right.
And it was also, you know, it's just great. And the last time that happened, and I really thought it should be a movie.
Right.
And I wish someone would steal this idea from me because I'm too lazy.
You're not going to do it, are you?
I'm not going to ever do it. But if someone would steal this idea from me, I'd love it. Is wait with you know, get your cameras all set, get everything lined up, get your phone numbers all set, and then wait for one of these things to happen.
For some real comedy story
like Clinton,
to happen.
Like when Clinton said he didn't inhale. Or the vice president shoots someone in the face. Then you wait for that, and then you go and talk to every comedian about what he's going to be doing that night. And you cover every single
you
joke
like
on
3 hours to get this film in the can.
When the comedian's prayers were answered, you know? And you find that, and today would have been perfect because this happened on a Sunday.
The day everyone laughed.
Yeah, the day everyone laughed. And when it happened with Clinton, you know, Clinton had that thing where he didn't inhale.
Right.
And I was not a Clinton lover. And I want to say this clear. We have a two-party system. And Lawrence O'Donnell,
sure.
LOD, my good friend, just wrote this beautiful thing to Kurt Anderson about a two-party system makes us all politicians. If you have a multiple party system, then you vote, you know, your votes go into the one that's closest to that. So you
right,
can vote
sure.
for Nader and it would go to Gore, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, but with a two party system, everyone has to be full of compromise. We all become cheesy, horrible politicians, picking the lesser of two evils, right?
Right? Okay.
So, I want to say I don't believe in the two-party system, and therefore I really am not a Bush fan, and I also was not a Clinton fan. You know, I don't think there's any difference in Democrats or Republicans because I'm a libertarian, and I believe in the last election the libertarians won because the United States, all the people, could not find any difference between these two people. You know,
I'm voting for him because I hate him.
Yeah,
those are the reasons everyone voted.
Yeah, it was horrible.
No one said, "Gosh, he matches my ideals. I'm going to step up to the plate. Today's the day for democracy.
No.
I'm going to vote my heart."
No,
that
didn't happen at all.
I hate that other guy.
And the supposed peace candidate was for the war and was on a boat killing people in Vietnam. That was your peace candidate. So I did not like Clinton. I do not like Bush. I think they are identical. There's very, very little difference. So when Clinton, and I didn't believe Clinton. I thought Clinton was slimy, a slimy liar. So when it came out that he had not inhaled, and all the comics jumped on it and said, well, of course he inhaled. Of course he inhaled. You know, what a lie that is. I believe that might have been the only true thing he ever said as president, or running for president. I just think it's...
You think that's a little cheesy to not inhale, or just...
No. I think that the kind of person we're talking about... Now, you
right.
know I've never had any marijuana in my life. I've never had any drugs. I'm a non-drinker. But before the calls come in, I am all in favor of everything being legal. I just don't use it myself.
Sure.
Don't like it in my house or like it in my friends. But, you know, the rest of the world, fine. So I, when someone passes me a joint,
right.
they don't need more. When I was younger and, you know, joints were passed around. You know, that's how I use the drug terminology, just like the kids do.
You're
some
so
weed,
hip.
Some chronic is passed
the
around.
Sticky icky.
Some sticky icky is passed around. When the chronic comes, the 410 comes my way.
You know, that's a little awkward coming out of your mouth.
Isn't
I was going to say,
yeah.
doesn't fit.
I would say, when they handed it to me, I would say, get that damn stuff away from me, you hippie loser piece of garbage. Why don't you go listen to the Dead, you fool? It was.
That's one of the advantages of being 6'8", isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, I would just say no respect whatsoever for the person. But Clinton, because all you needed to know about Clinton, the one thing you need to know, he was a mediocre sax player. And that tells you everything. That's what the entire campaign against him, you know? Should have been.
For you, that was it.
Yeah, mediocre sax player. Boom. You never want a mediocre sax player doing anything. You certainly don't want him near your buffet. And he is the kind of guy who lacks so much backbone, he could not even look someone in the eye and say, I do not smoke
just
marijuana.
Pretending.
He pretended to smoke. Now, that's what he wanted us
to
believe.
That's avoiding confrontation. And that's the guy you want as president.
That's the guy he wants as president.
The leader of the free world.
Can you imagine Thomas Jefferson
hey, stop.
Pretending to smoke dope, going,
yeah.
Now, maybe Clinton was lying about this, but I believe that the reason he said something that stupid, I didn't inhale, the reason he said that was, you know how liars, and you've been a liar, you've lied a lot, when you're lying and all of a sudden you hit something that's truthful and you think you can just say the truth,
right?
You get this excitement welling up in you.
So relaxing.
And you don't even check how that truth is going to go. You know, it's like the one time you're innocent. So I think Clinton just went, wow. Oh, I can tell the truth on this. And then all the bad comics come out. And this Cheney thing, my suggestion is don't listen to any comics. Just skip the Leno monologue tonight.
Write your own joke. Do it in your own kitchen.
Just read the article. Just read the straight article.
That's right. The part where it says it's Harry's fault for sneaking up on him.
Is that his name, Harry?
Harry Whittington.
Oh,
he's 78 years old. He's out hunting with the vice president, and he's apparently creeping up. He's got a very quiet walker. I don't even understand how a 78-year-old guy sneaks up on someone in the woods.
Yeah. I don't know how you shoot quail, though. Maybe it's is it open, out in the open, like skeet shooting?
I think it's deep grass, yeah.
Oh, deep grass.
So he's slithering on his belly. I don't know. The details are a little fuzzy still.
But it's not, and then she also says in the quote, which I love, it's not like it was a bullet or something.
Yeah, not like it was a bullet.
No. Okay. Let's take a phone call.
We should take a phone call because
line
we
10.
Have two very important calls. We should talk to John on line 10 first.
Okay.
And then we will go to... There, is you there, John?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Cool. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just great. I was just calling to let you know I could pick Mario up at the airport if you want.
You're the man.
I'm the guy that can do it.
You're a limo driver?
That's correct.
Oh, man. What's your name?
John.
Oh, thanks, John.
He's just my hero.
You have a little sign that says Mario.
Mario, that's it? Just Mario.
Mario, yeah, that'll be enough.
That's all you need.
Okay, I need to know what airline he's coming in on so I can pick him up at the carousel.
Okay, well, he's going to call in right now. You listen to the show, I assume.
Yep.
Keep listening. We'll get that information on the air. Let's take Mario on line 8.
Mario, if we can get over to get him, yeah.
Good morning.
Hey, Mario, we got you a ride, baby.
I know. I'm trying to reach for the itinerary right now. It's I'm coming.
Well, I have your itinerary. I just don't know if we want to read it on the air.
But you can say the airline.
Okay, yeah. He'll be on, let's see. No, he has a flight number. Mario, what airline are you on? I have the flight number.
Northwest. It's coming out of Detroit.
Okay, come out of Detroit.
Northwest coming out of Detroit.
Northwest coming out of Detroit. And do you have any checked bags?
No, it's all carry-on.
So it's all carry-on, John. So he'll be right out there.
Right there about 11:30. I guess he's coming down those escalators around 11:30.
Right, and he'll be. You don't have to go to the carousels at all. They'll be just there. He'll have a little sign that says Mario. Okay, man.
It's coming in from Minneapolis, actually.
Minneapolis. Okay. Well, all of this gets heard by John. Mario, we're going to see you tomorrow on the Bullshot set, and then we'll have donuts. Jack will be there. Godot and I will be there. And then tomorrow night, you're going to see Lance Burton.
That's right.
And Wednesday night, you're going to go see Penn & Teller. That sound cool, Mario?
That sounds very good.
Thanks so much, Mario. We'll meet you tomorrow. And this is Penn Jillette and Michael Godot. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, where Mario will soon be. The vice president shot someone in the face thinking he was a bird. We're not doing jokes. Not doing jokes. No jokes for us. Penn Jillette. Boy, that was exciting, wasn't it?
It was really exciting.
We got a limo from Mario, and hearing his voice, I was all a Twitter. Mario.
You've always been a Twitter.
I've always been a Twitter. Twitters never win. We don't know what branch of the service Mario's still, but when we come back, we're going to have information on Mario.
Boy.
People will not believe. And maybe we'll get reports. Maybe we can keep Mario in the loop as he goes into boot camp.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Might be our correspondent. He will be embedded in boot camp for the Penn Jillette show.
He's already embedded in snow. He's in New York trying to get to the airport.
It'll be so worth it, Mario. So worth it. And we're calling up John, the limo driver, to set everything up. And what else? Randy and Provenza tomorrow. Tomorrow it's the Randy and Provenza show. Penn Jillette and Michael Godot will be there, but tomorrow it's the James, Randy, and Paul Provenza show. And then the day after, it's Gilbert Gottfried, who I think is the funniest man in the world. And he's got a new DVD out. I mean, besides The Aristocrats, he's flooding the market.
Flooding the market with dirty jokes.
It's like Martin Sheen in the 60s. Every movie ever, he'll be in. He's in everything. Peter Benchley died.
Yeah,
and that's you know, Peter Benchley wrote Jaws, and I'm kind of bummed about the way he died. He died of pulmonary.
Yeah, progressive scarring of the lungs.
Progressive with,
pulmonary fibrosis. Yeah,
yeah, pulmonary fibrosis. Which you know,
not
right?
Pleasant.
You have a prognosis on that, right? I mean, when you
sure.
when you get that, the doctors tell you about when you're gonna die.
It's coming.
Now, if you really cared about our culture. If you were Peter, question. If you were Peter Benchley, okay,
yeah,
and you cared about the culture,
sure,
and you cared about the comedians,
right,
who want to have something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
If you cared about radio show hosts, if you cared about your fellow human beings and weren't selfish, wouldn't and you had a countdown, like you're told you're Peter Benchley now, and you
okay.
have
I have 6 weeks,
6 weeks to live, 5.5 weeks. Don't you get yourself in shark-infested waters?
I do. I
throw yourself
in. I go water skiing off the coast of Australia.
I know, but don't you just put little cuts all over your legs and thrash like a seal in trouble?
Stick a tuna in my swimsuit and water ski behind a boat.
sure. And just wait. Because Peter Benchley killed by sharks. Peter Benchley, you know, the book Jaws is a great book. It changed our culture. It was a book that lied to everybody about reality. It made people afraid of sharks. You know, when I went to see...
It's just a monster story. Come on.
It's a monster story. And has no relevance to reality.
Not much relevance to reality, no.
No, your chances... You know, we don't have to go with the chances. Your
everybody
chance
knows
of being,
the chances.
The chance of being attacked by a shark are
low. Zero. Zero is the word you're looking for.
Zero is the word I'm looking for. But I do have a Jaws story, as you can probably imagine. I try to have a story
so
on everything.
So that's where the Benchley thing comes from. It was not out of humanity. You were not sorry that Mr. Benchley was gone?
I know. I don't.
Okay.
Life is cheap to make it up.
Well, I'm sorry Benchley's gone.
Yeah. Okay. What did you read? Any
That'll
other,
be my job.
Did you read any other books besides Jaws?
No.
Did you read The Deep?
I didn't read The Deep. I saw the movie The Deep.
Oh, that T-shirt? Oh, man. Do you remember anything about the plot of that movie, The Deep?
Only the liquid breathing, because I've been reading articles about that as well in science journals.
Yeah.
So,
but I remember that T-shirt you remember.
Yeah?
Holy moly. Is that a great T-shirt?
It was Deep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What year did that come out, The Deep?
74.
See, I was 19 years old. What, did you just make that up?
Made that up. I can't believe you even believed me for a second.
I just assume you know everything. This is true. I went to see Jaws the week it opened. What year was that? 72, 73, 74.
That might have been 73.
It was the early 70s. I went to see it the weekend it opened.
Of course.
And it was packed. The theater was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And I react very strongly to movies. I get very excited. I mean, I scream. I do all that stuff. I just go wacky. And and so I was very excited in the movie theater. And about halfway through the movie, I had to pee really badly. I just had to go to the restroom. And I could
sure.
not make it through the rest of the movie. So I tried to pick a part that wouldn't be that exciting, which is hard to find there. You know, got to get a bigger boat. And I absolutely run to the restroom. I run to the restroom, and I'm standing at the urinal, you know, trying to go as fast as I can. And a guy runs in the same condition, you know, fly down as he's coming through the door, runs over to the urinal, and he's there. And then just, and this is before the Saturday Night Live land shark thing. It's before that whole thing. And just for some reason, I guess the muses visited me. And I pointed down at the urinal ice, and I screamed, "Urinal shark! Urinal shark!" And he jumped back. He jumped back really far, and then peed all over himself and on me and on the floor. And it was—that's
a good joke.
It was really funny. It was really funny. I mean, I was hysterical, and it was just—I didn't even know I was going to do it. It was just the muses of comedy visited me. Urinal shark. It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. So, for no other reason, I'm going to miss Peter Benchley deeply. But Peter Benchley should have just said, you know, in his living will, you know, when I'm just able to barely move, get me on a boat, put a tuna in my shorts, dump me overboard. Because then to be able to say Peter Benchley eaten by sharks would be so cool. And I think it's probably not that much worse way to go than some pulmonary problem, right?
That seems better.
Yeah. And it's also the sharks are going to have no trouble killing you. Yeah, sure. Just go there. Let's take a phone call. Line five. We got Claudia.
Claudia,
you there, Claudia?
Oh, yeah. Hi, sorry.
How you doing, boss?
We're roughing around the world.
Oh, okay. Us too.
Yeah, I'm on the line tonight with Tangerine Baydream. She's the co-writer of the comic we did about you.
We did a comic about me?
Yeah, we did a comic about you and Teller.
Oh, cool. What's it called?
Kitty's Toys.
Kitty's Toys? Is it online?
No, it is actually going to be online soon.
Oh, cool. And are you the artist or are you the writer?
Yeah, I'm the artist and the writer and the printer and the publisher. That's what you do when you're in independent comics.
Yeah, are you superheroes?
No, you're just you.
Oh, we're just us.
The great thing about being a comic book artist is I can molest anybody I want, and I wanted to molest Teller. Teller, I've had a crush on him since I was like four.
You evil bitch! I hate you. Die. Just
and
die.
I had a crush on you.
Say again. Who has a crush on me? Who has a crush on me?
We made you guys like it in the end.
Oh, of course. Who has the crush on me?
Oh, Tangerine. She's on the phone right now. Hi.
Tangerine. She's on the phone.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tangerine. She's right there. Just call me Tang.
Tang. Hello, Tang. Is your name really Tangerine?
It changed it to that. It's a stage name. We're fire performers.
Cool. Oh, really? Where at? What city in?
We're in Bloomington, Indiana. We do a lot of shows in Indianapolis right now. We're a magic comedy duo and fire performers.
And also do comics?
And comics, yeah.
What do you do? What do you do for fire? What do you do? Fire eating?
Fire eating, fire breather, toy spinning. Fan dancing. Yeah.
Are you're kind of part of that new burlesque movement?
Yeah.
Is your show like sexy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're the only two chicks we know of that do the Kiss of Fire.
I've only seen guys do it.
Yeah.
Not that I
know. Oh, the Kiss of Fire.
You guys do it. We're dying to see that.
Wait a minute. You mean
seriously?
Like one of you lights your tongue on fire, then when we change the fumes, then you light across there?
Yeah.
You know who invented that trick? I invented that trick.
Oh, come on, whatever.
No, that's absolutely true. That's absolutely true.
You invented that trick.
Try to find... No, do you mean between two people?
Huh?
Do you mean between two people, that kiss being done?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Try to find an instance before we did it on Broadway in 1990.
Okay.
I did it with a...
You invent a lot of things, because we...
No, I don't! Not you. I have claimed nothing. What do I claim to invent that I didn't?
Do you remember Magic and Mystery Tour?
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there talking, I think it was in Egypt. No, it was in China.
Right.
You're talking about how you are like, you invented coin magic.
All right, well that was...
That right. Might have been a joke.
That's all
you. No, but that...
We had to study you to do the comic book because we had every quote from your books, everything was all about you guys. We had to study you.
Tang.
Fucking Penn and Teller nuts, right? Everybody
Tang.
Hated us for the 2 months we worked on those comics.
Tang, my love. My loves, my loves. My loves. My loves. I love you deeply, but that was a joke. I was saying that in China, everybody claims to have everything goes back forever. And I said in the U.S., we would try to claim to have invented anything we possibly could. And then I did a whole riff on how we invented coin magic and all that stuff.
Okay.
But that was a joke. That was a joke. Joke is the word I was going for. I hit it the first time.
You do it so straight. You're like sitting right here on this earth. But I'm like, okay.
Right. Okay. But the truth of the matter is, I believe that the two-person fire-eating kiss thing, I believe that the first people to do it publicly, I did it with Carol Perkins, who was a model in New York City and my girlfriend at the time. And we did that on Broadway. And I worked it out with Robbie Libben. So the first people to do it that I know of were me and Robbie, who were working on that, and we did that. And one of you retains the vapor in your mouth, the other one lights the tongue, and then you light off the tongue. And what, did you light another torch off that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. But where can I see this comic? Also, you have
to send it in. And Glenn Ali, I think his name is pronounced.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been like running interference, and I think he hates us.
Okay, well he might.
That's his job.
His job
is to hate everyone.
His job is to hate people like you, but I like you. Write an email to PennRadio, PennRadio @gmail.com. It'll go right to Godot. No, it'll go right to Godot. You didn't see it, Godot?
I didn't see the comic thing. No.
Okay,
sorry.
Send it to Rio, and will you get it?
Actually, write to Godot first. That'll give me the email address, and I'll write to you, and I'll tell you where to send it.
Okay, cool.
And thank you so much, and I'm going to have to go for a break now.
Can you please promise me that you'll show it to Teller?
I promise you I'll show it to Teller, but I'm so much more interested in Tang. I'm so much more interested in her. Okay, we'll be back right after this. Ben Gillette here with Michael Goudeau. Oh, boy. Do I have two women calling talking about, well, one of them was cool. Tangerine was very, very cool. She was great. The other one, like Teller, who cares about her?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just doing a search during the break, and I was looking for Tangerine Fire Dancer Indianapolis. Right. And yeah, I was hoping to get a picture to help fuel the fantasy, but couldn't find it.
Maybe
but she better send a picture. By the way, if you want to get a reaction from me when you women write in, when you write into penradio@gmail.com, you want to lead mostly with Tangerine, because that's the one I'm interested in, the one who likes me. People who like Teller, I just don't get. I just
don't understand that at all.
Huh? Seems like an insane thing. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E 3733. Anything in the mail?
Oh, we got a great... Yeah, this is from Bob, the skeptical Christian, our friend.
One of these days we're going to have...
Start paying,
he writes in every day.
Bob,
no,
yeah.
What'd you say? You just said it's crazy stuff. What, do you have a fever or something? We're not going to pay anybody. One of these days, we're going to talk to Bob, the skeptical Christian, and find out what skeptical Christian means.
Yeah, okay.
But in the meantime, he writes great stuff. And
yeah,
this is almost worth, you know, go ahead, read it.
He says, I think it would be better if Peter Benchley had chosen to put an air tank into his mouth and have Dick Cheney shoot it. That's a fine death.
You know, I was trying to do this whole thing about the Dick Cheney.
Staying off the Dick Cheney stuff, but, you know.
You just can't. It's too good.
These two tying it together really boosted it a lot.
Really,
this is a synthesis of jokes.
I like Bob, the skeptical Christian. What's going on in your show, Goudeau?
The guy, Mike Rowe from Discovery Channel, Dirty Jobs, was in Saturday night.
What was his dirty job? Yours?
Yeah, Lance's. He was doing a magic show.
Apparently,
that's the worst job ever.
One of these days, we're going to look across, and it's going to be Mike Rowe sitting at your microphone.
Exactly. Dirty Jobs, sitting in a radio station with Penn Jillette.
Yeah, he gets spit on once in a while.
Yeah, he did Turtles' job. Followed turtles around, cleaned up bird poop.
Oh, you say turtles?
Turtles.
Oh, you don't call him turtle? You call him turtle?
No, it's Turtle's job. It's a possessive.
Yeah, okay.
It's an English new language for you. I understand.
It's a brand new thing.
It would be Turtle's job to clean up bird poop.
Uh-huh.
And so apparently Mike Rowe's job was to follow. You know, I think this was invented by people with bad jobs. I think Turtle wrote in and said, I'm sick of cleaning bird poop. Could you send somebody down to cover for a day?
Turtle helped us with our duck.
I know.
Yeah. The duck is getting, you know, the duck is, we're working on, the duck is working on the show, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we have this duck. Our duck is named Lord Duckley. And he was originally Lance's duck.
Right.
And Lance loaned him to us, gave him to us.
I don't know. No idea.
Well, Lance, I think you thought you loaned him to us. I think he gave him to us, just so you know. And Nate, you know, Nathan Santucci, who is running as a libertarian candidate here in Vegas soon. Very honest, very good guy. You want him in your government. Nate is in charge of the duck, and the duck is very, very well treated.
Is it?
The duck is so much better treated than I am.
Is it well behaved?
Fairly. Duck? Although Nate is trying to, he was asking people what would be a good treat for the duck. Do you know what a good duck treat is?
Cockroaches.
They like cockroaches?
They like bugs, yeah.
See, Nate also has a tank of cockroaches there.
I know. So, there you go.
So, but the Madagascar hissers?
I don't know about the Madagascar hissers.
Maybe there's too much.
Those are good for Teller.
Man, when Teller ate that one on Fear Factor, how boss was that?
Great.
Very cool.
He's my hero.
He didn't have to. Yeah. He's also what's her name? Claudia's hero. It was Claudia and Tangerine who called us.
Right. And Claudia thought that Teller was hot, and probably for eating the bug.
Probably for eating the bug. Claudia
that
seems
was
really
pretty
cool.
Manly. I was impressed by him eating the bug as well.
And she didn't believe me. She didn't believe me that that fire kiss thing, I think, was mine. I really do. I really do. I wasn't even kidding. I was really proud of that, because I got the idea. That bit was originally written for, am I just going to blank on her name? Who was in Blue Velvet? What's her name?
No idea.
No, the woman in Blue Velvet. Isabella Rossellini.
Okay.
I wrote that
bit. The woman in
yeah,
Blue Velvet.
Yeah, for Isabella Rossellini.
Right.
I wrote that bit, and it was, we still do it in the show here. I do it
sure.
with Georgie, and it's the two of us on the couch, and we make out while having fire.
While eating fire.
You know. And I wrote that for Isabella Rossellini, and she was okay
doing it. She never showed.
Well, no, she was going to do it for a TV show with us, and then she had to shoot some movie in Russia, so we ended up using Carol Perkins.
Right.
And we did that, but we did all the work on it with me and Robbie. It was really funny because Robbie and I had the fire in our mouth, but we were more concerned with kissing each other than we were with getting burned.
With actually being killed by the fire. Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah, it was. So I believe, now maybe someone will write in. There's people that really do know Variety Arts.
And sure.
There must be someone who did a flaming kiss routine before that. But I could
possibly.
I could find no antecedents. And I looked, and I know a little bit about this. I looked through the books. I did a few, you know. But maybe someone has done, and if someone is really good on the web or something, they could tell me this. I'd like to know, because I used to tell people, you know, that Mike Moshe and I were the first to pass nine clubs.
Right. Sure.
I told everybody that forever. And then
I could have answered that for you.
Jason Garfield said no with some Russians.
Yeah, some Russian fellas.
So it's always. But really, it was before, like, 73, too.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like ping pong ball in the nose. Put beeswax upon the end of thy nose, I believe, is the initial. So.
Well, you should explain. Not everybody listening is a variety performer.
Guess.
But if you coat a ping pong ball with rubber cement,
yes.
Put a little rubber cement on your nose,
sure.
You throw the ball up, you catch it on your nose, it looks like you're balancing it.
Looks like you caught
then,
it on
then
your
you
nose,
bring yeah. your head back down, and there it is. There it is.
It's
there.
A clown nose.
It's a clown
That's
nose.
The gag.
It's a gag. It's okay. I, however, I may have been the one who did the longest with it.
I believe that's possibly true.
Because I did 20 minutes.
You're a chatty fella.
A chatty fella. 20 minutes.
You can get 20 minutes out of throwing a ping pong ball up and catching it on the end of your nose.
I sure can. Easily.
We got an email here that's from Chris. It says, will you allow Teller to shoot you when you're almost dead? When you're about to die, do you think you would let Teller shoot you and do the bullet catch?
Wow. That's a good question.
That's a very reasonable question under the circumstances.
I'm thinking about it seriously. I'm not thinking about what joke I'm going to go for here. I'm just thinking if I were terminally ill, I think the problem is, and this is probably Peter Benchley's problem too, because certainly
probably
he had the idea. He had the idea to be eaten by sharks. That's not hard to get an idea. But I bet at the end of my life, if I was given an hour. To live, I bet I would want to see my family.
Yes. Well,
so
you think?
I think I probably care more about my family than I care about doing a cool thing like having Teller shoot me. Also, it's slightly different because if you feed yourself to sharks, I think you're kind of okay, right? Legally? Maybe. Are the people that bring you out there, are they liable?
I don't know.
But certainly would get Teller in trouble, which might tip the balances just a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, because Teller going on the, would you please direct the witness to answer the question? Please direct the witness to answer the question.
I'm sorry, he's not talking.
I picture, what's his name, McCoy on Law and Order.
Okay.
Yelling at Teller. You know, McCoy gets that turtle head of his.
Right,
his
sure.
neck gets all... I read somewhere, you know, the guy who plays him, what's his name, Sam...
Watterson?
Sam Watterson. Atheist. Did you know that?
I didn't know.
He's an out-of-the-closet atheist. And when I watch Law and Order now...
He is now.
No, I think
even if he's not an atheist, he is now. People are going to beat him up.
I think it's on a site
okay.
where he says that. I mean, I'm not sure.
Well, you know, I'm on the Jewish Jugglers site. A lot of work to get my name off of the Jewish Jugglers site.
You were on the Jewish Jugglers site?
I was. And I had to write to them and ask them. I said, you know, respectfully, I'm actually not Jewish. And they wrote back and said, has anyone in your family been Jewish? And I wrote back and said, no. And then they wrote back again and said, do you like Jewish food?
They did not.
They did.
They did not.
I'm telling the truth. They wrote back and said, do you like Jewish food? Because maybe you're Jewish. So, well, okay, you got me. I like matzo ball soup. I must be a Jew.
What's right. that stuff where they mix up the matzo brei?
Matzo brei.
Matzo brei is good, too. So
you could be a Jew as well. You like Jewish food?
I love Jewish food.
There you
when
go.
I'm in New York, man, Carnegie Deli. I love carne. You know,
I think it's a bad idea to start your diet with a set of really crazy restrictions.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the no bacon thing.
Yeah.
I think you should plan dinner around how good it's going to taste rather than how
what God wants
me to have for dinner.
However, if there were a God,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't that be more important than what tastes good?
Yes, it would.
Okay, there you go.
If I were a practicing believing Jew, I would be doing that.
You know, I get all the food I want at Carnegie Deli for free. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Because when we did the Super Bowl prediction, you know, we had the pickle jar. I mentioned Carnegie Deli, and so I'm
sure.
For
that was a couple of years ago, though. Have you been back recently?
Yes, I was back in New York a while ago.
And they gave you free food still?
Yes, they did. Me and Provenza. You know, Provenza. He eats like a pig. You ever seen Provenza?
Wasn't there some chance we were going to do the show in New York at some point?
They've been talking about CBS.
Could
I go
to Carnegie Deli for you for free for lunch?
I think you can. Have you been to Carnegie Deli?
Not recently, okay. No.
But there's also one here in Vegas.
Oh, well,
you know. And we're getting nothing out of this, you know. Although I said free food, so now we can talk about Carnegie Deli. But, you know, a corned beef sandwich from Carnegie Deli and a Celray soda is the best thing in the world. And that's what I used to miss a lot about New York. But now we have it in Vegas. It's over at, I don't know, one of the casinos. And I think it's over at Siegfried and Roy's casino. I guess but the casino formerly known as Siegfried and Roy's casino.
We have a call on line five, Kenny.
Yeah, let's take line five. Hey, Kenny, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Winners. Did you win one?
No, I actually saw it in the theater three times.
Oh, thanks,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So you're one of our winners.
Question. What the hell are you guys talking about?
What, right now?
No. What are you talking about? You're making no sense.
Me.
What the hell are you talking about? It's blah, 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 blah. Makes sense.
Okay, thanks.
What are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. Do we have that on tape? Do we have your permission to sell that, Kenny? Because, man, that was great.
Yeah.
Really good rhythm.
Yeah, was that some gag from somebody or something?
I don't know.
Was that his own?
Kenny?
That's Kenny's own little bit? Now I'm very self-conscious. What am I talking about? What I am talking about is tomorrow, James Randi, Paul Provenza will be on the show. The day after that, it will be the amazing Gilbert Gottfried. And the number is 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, 3733. Penn Radio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, @gmail.com. What are you talking about, Godot?
I'm talking about Mario's coming in tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought it was a reference to the Aristocrats.
Oh, okay. We also have a message here. John will meet Mario at the baggage claim.
Mario at the baggage claim.
Meet at baggage claim, Mario.
Baggage claim, baggage
That's
claim,
That's great
Mario.
That somebody stepped up to volunteer to actually pick up someone going into the armed services. They're going to pick him up at the airport and take him to the hotel.
You know, my wife was very upset that I didn't say I was against the war in Iraq, because
right.
I am. I said I was so set on saying that Mario and the being a serviceman was an entirely different issue. I mean, this is the whole problem, not the whole problem. This is one of the minor problems with Vietnam. Is how do you protest a war without pulling your support away from the soldiers?
Right.
You know, how do you, you know, it's
right.
it's a Michael Moore issue.
Right.
And I want to say that I think that Mario going into the service is a great thing, and I think that going into the army and volunteering to serve your country is great. And you can be that and still be against the war. You can still be for the service men and women and still be against the war. But it's important that I say that.
Okay.
Wasn't she writing you a zillion instant messages saying,
yes.
Pens against the war, pens against the war, pens against the war, I don't like bacon, I don't like bacon. And we get a lot of response to my idea, pens, bacon and a kiss airlines. I don't know if they dumped any of the stuff that I said. That was debated. I don't know if it all got out in the air, what my real idea for bacon and a kiss airline was. But I'm sure you got it. You know, if I really say it, the radio won't play it, so I'll just lay it between the lines.
Okay.
as they said. Tomorrow, James Randi and Paul Provenza. Wednesday, Gilbert Gottfried. Thursday, we'll be taking your calls. This is Penn, Fraser Gillette in the snowless Las Vegas with Michael Goudeau. What are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah.